Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
And I felt not to preach what I prepared to preach. So I've just sat down there and endeavoured to seek the mind of the Lord. I don't know where we'll get. Perhaps we'll just read a lot of scriptures, but we couldn't do much better than that, could we? Today we have been talking and singing, both this afternoon and this evening, about Christmas, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. We sang this afternoon from Isaiah 6, where the word of God, some 700 years before he came, prophesied that a virgin would bring forth the Son of God, and his name would be called Jesus. And we rejoiced this afternoon at that prophecy and the fulfillment of it some 2,000 years ago. For God's prophecies are sure, and his word certain of fulfillment. And so I thought tonight, as we have been rejoicing in the fulfillment of that great prophecy, of that great promise that he would send forth a son out from a virgin, that tonight perhaps we might look at some other scriptures and have a look at some of the promises of God that still lie ahead. And this only came to me in the third song we were singing. So I've just glanced through from Isaiah 1 to Isaiah 66 and jotted down a few scriptures. And of course the Old Testament is full of glorious promises, just as glorious as that glorious promise of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought tonight we could refresh ourselves by glancing at some of the promises which are still ahead, promises which you and I, certainly many of you, and I hope I, will rejoice in seeing come to pass, because God has a timetable, and it is a very clear timetable, a very specific one, and it always runs true to form. Most of it has been fulfilled, but there are great promises still for something else to come to birth. And now the scriptures I want, or some of the scriptures I want to try and touch just out of Isaiah. We live in the day when we, I hope all of us, certainly you young people, that is for sure, will see God bring to birth promises which he's already established in his word. Let's see if we can receive some of them. Isaiah 2, I hope you have your Bibles. Isaiah 2, always bring your Bibles. Share them if someone next to you hasn't got theirs. Isaiah 2, verses 1 to 5. Just look at that clock and see. We'll go to 8 o'clock and we'll stop at 8. Otherwise, we might be here all night. And we're not ready for that yet, are we? Huh? Not quite. Isaiah 2, 1 to 5. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Notice he saw it. He must have seen it in a vision. And it shall come to pass in the last days, these days, that the mountain of the Lord's house, mountain always talks of power and authorities, and the mountain or the authority of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, in the top of all the powers. Whatever powers and authorities there may be in this earth, in the last days, the authority of the Lord's house shall be established above them all, and shall be exalted above the hills, talking of all the minor powers, and all nations, which is a figure of speech, should read better, I feel, many from all nations shall flow unto it. Please don't read that all nations. That's not quite literal. And many from all nations shall flow unto the Lord's house. Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, you know, talks, amongst other things, of the church. Most certainly of the church, God's people, Zion. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Jerusalem being the larger metropolis, and Zion being the place of rulership. Both of them talking literally of the same thing, but a different circumference. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, always companies amongst God's people. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What a tremendous promise that is, when the Lord's house is established above all other authorities. Verse 5, O house of Jacob, come ye. And house of Jacob, of course, Jacob is the father of the 12 sons who produced the 12 tribes of Israel. So this is talking of Israel. Whether you want to read national or spiritual Israel, whether you want to talk of the nation or the church, because there's promises to both of them. But let's talk of the church tonight. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Chapter 11. You try and keep all these promises and make a story out of them as I go along, because I won't have time to do so. Isaiah 11, 1 to 12. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That has already been fulfilled. Who is that branch or that rod? The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Did it? Amen. Jesus himself said it had. And here we have seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. You read about the seven spirits of God. That talks really of the seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. The seven eyes talks of the seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. Here they are. The Spirit of wisdom, number one, and understanding, number two. Wisdom and understanding must always be linked. One without the other causes wreckage, even in natural affairs. The Spirit of counsel, number three, and might, number four. Number five, the Spirit of knowledge. And number six, and of the fear of the Lord. I'll come to seven in a minute. And here's the result. Those things being upon the Lord Jesus Christ shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. And here's number seven, that with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins, or of his mind. Number 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now, this is not necessarily literal illustrations. It could well be figures of speech talking about the peace that the Lord will bring upon this earth when he really does take up his reign and all who oppose him are struck down. There will be peace in every area. Verse 8, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. That's in the, once again, mountain, talking of the authority and power of the Lord. You could read in there, if you like, in my kingdom. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign or a signal of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, and from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. I think you can read that definitely literally, and also, of course, spiritually. So there's a promise there to the nation of Israel. Verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, a signal for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. What a promise. We are seeing that happen literally in Israel today, as we've seen that nation form since the First World War, and we've seen them come from every nation of the earth virtually and gather together into that land. So at least literally we've seen the fulfillment of that prophecy, which was given 700 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, and there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And here God is making a promise. Just as he brought his people out of Egypt back there thousands of years ago, here he is saying in these end days, when he establishes his power upon this earth in its final application and manifestation, for he's only established his power on this earth legally at this moment. He did that at Calvary and in the resurrection. He is expressing whatever part of that power we as his people have the faith to take hold of and to express and appropriate. But the day will come when he will return, when his power will rest upon the whole of this earth. And when that happens, when he takes up his throne here, takes his authority here, he says there's a highway going to be made for the remnant of his people, as there was when he brought Israel out of Egypt, out of the bondage of Egypt in those days. Egypt, as you know, always stands prophetically for the world. So here we have a prophecy which says that just as God brought that nation of Israel out of Egypt, so he is going to bring his people in these end days out of the bondage of this world. And he's going to make a highway for them, that they might go along that highway into the provisions which we're going to read about in a moment. These are tremendous promises which we're just touching the peaks of. I hope they can touch your spirit. Isaiah 16, verse 5. Isaiah, as you probably know, and I've said it often, is the book of Revelation of the Old Testament. In fact, you can't understand the book of Revelation in the New Testament unless you understand this book first. Isaiah 16, verse 5. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Let me read that again. I'm not going to open it up. I think it's self-explanatory. And in mercy, these are the end days still, shall the throne be established. Where? Well, we've already read where in Isaiah 2. Because in Isaiah 2, you remember, it said, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and he will be, and shall be exalted. All right. Verse 5 again, in mercy shall the throne be established in the Lord's mountain, on the top of all the other mountains, and he shall sit upon it in truth. Can you imagine any throne on earth today, any rulership on earth today that sits in truth? None. Wherever we look, in every land, there is dishonesty. There is corruption. There is unrighteousness. But here we're going to have a throne, and he shall sit upon it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. I like that word, hasting, bringing about righteousness into this world with haste. Isn't that good to know? That day can't come too quickly, I'm sure, for all of us, for we live in a day of such wickedness, so much unrighteousness, so much violence and horror and rottenness, that to think that God has promised he's going to wipe it all out and haste to bring righteousness when his time is right to do all of this. Has he got a time? We'll see that in a moment. Isaiah 25. Verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Beloved, if only we could always, in the midst of our trials and temptations and pressures and tragedies and crises and disappointments and wounds, if we could only remember that the Lord's counsels, and we have them here, are of old, faithful and true. Verse 6 to 10. And in this mountain, and you have to believe me because you have to go back to the previous chapter to identify it, it's Mount Zion, talking about the Lord's people, talking about the Lord's mountain. And in this mountain, Zion, shall the Lord of hosts... You know, don't you? You understand I'm not talking about literal mountains. These are symbolic words. We're talking about God's people. And in this mountain, God's people, shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, talking of the goodness, of wines on the lees well refined. Tremendous promises to us. Verse 7, and he will destroy in this mountain, in Mount Zion, the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations, the veil of wretchedness. So even in Mount Zion, even amongst God's people, he says here, there is still a veil, and we know there's a veil. There's a veil that's stopping that glory that Pastor Williamson was talking about this afternoon from shining forth out of God's people. The Bible tells us there's a veil there, but the day is coming when the Lord Jesus will strip that veil from the church. The glory of the Lord will begin to shine out across this world. Verse 8, and he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. Verse 9, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Verse 10, for in this mountain, Zion, God's people, shall the hand of the Lord rest. And Moab, and I can't tell you why, but Moab talks of the flesh always. Many of you understand why. And Moab shall be trodden down under him. Won't it be good when the flesh no longer troubles us? I hope others of you feel like I do there. Am I the only one? Good. Others of you have a little trouble with this old flesh. Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. Hallelujah. All right, 26, 1 to 4. In that day, the end days still, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. What's Judah mean? Praise. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. We've spoken about this strong city before. It's not a natural city. It's not a material city. It's a spiritual city. It has to be a spiritual city because we already have just read that the walls are going to be salvation. And later on we'll see the gates will be gates of praise. So it's not a literal city. It's a city made up of people who are concerned with salvation and praise. What city is that? Huh? The church, yes. What other city is concerned for salvation and praise? Do you realize we were a city? We're Zion. We're a city. The Bible continually calls us a city. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates. What gates? Praise. Gates of praise. Many references to that. Colossians 1. Isaiah 60. We better stick to Isaiah. Isaiah 60 and verse 18. They will call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. All right, so we know what the gates are. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth might enter in. Who is the righteous nation that keeps the truth? The church, that's right. Does the Bible say that? Yes, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it says you are a holy nation, that you should show forth the praises of him. So the Bible says the church is a holy nation. So this is talking about the church. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation has, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Has any nation in this world yet ever kept the truth? John 17, 17, thy word is truth. This is truth, this word. Has any nation ever kept that truth? Never. Not a nation in this world that's ever kept the truth. Verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What a tremendous state to get to in life, when we genuinely trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we genuinely walk day by day trusting in him. You know, some of us have disasters and difficulties and distresses which have been upon us for 10 and 20 and 30 years. How wonderful when such people can obey the word of God and trust in the Lord forever. Even if he doesn't answer your prayers, even if he doesn't meet your needs, even if he doesn't give you that miracle, that deliverance, that healing, whatever it is you want, but still, out of your heart, not out of blind or stubbornness, but out of your heart, you're able to trust in the Lord forever. Verse 3 again, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Hallelujah. I'm glad some of you feel like saying that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here is strength, here is peace, which no other means in this world can bring to you. And that is really to just yield your life over to him and trust him with everything that you have. Regardless of results. Where are we? Verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. It's going to be a hard way for some of the world to learn righteousness, but when the judgment of God, when the judgments of God begin to fall upon this earth, then many will learn righteousness. We won't open that up. 20. Isaiah 26, verse 20. Come, my people. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. This relates to Revelation chapter 12, when the woman, the church, is taken out into the wilderness. Who remembers for how long? That's right, 3.5 years. Very clearly set out in Revelation 12, twice. 3.5 years, the church is taken out into a place of safety called the wilderness. Not literal, of course. No literal safe wildernesses in the world today. It's symbolic language again. But there is a place of safety when the fury of God is outpoured upon this earth. I think it must be very close. The other day at home, we had somebody at home and we were replaying on video. Mustn't talk too much on the sidelines. Film, The Bible. And one of the sections in the film was a very, very good film, very accurate to the Word of God, and one of the sections dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah. And as I looked at it, and it was horribly depicted, and the judgment of God came upon it just because of homosexuality. And when I feel of the filth in the Western world today, we've far transgressed anything Sodom and Gomorrah did. We've gone into filth and unrighteousness and complete debasing of every moral instinct that man's been born with, to an extent that the fury of God must be about to overflow and outpour upon this earth. I can sense it myself, and I'm sure many of you can too. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. That's the outpouring of God's judgments, which we read about in the book of Revelation. They are called the seven vials, the seven vials of God's wrath. Verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place at the end of the outpouring of that wrath, the second coming. This is the second coming. A lot of things in these two verses. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. That's, of course, the resurrection of the dead, the first resurrection at the coming of the Lord. The earth no longer covers her slain. And then chapter 27 and verse 1, in that day, the same day, the coming of the Lord, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword, what's the sword of the Lord? The word of God, that's right, Ephesians 6 tells us that, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. Revelation 12 identifies that. Who's that? The devil. Satan the devil. Revelation 12 will tell you that about halfway through. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Anyone know who that is? Antichrist. Revelation 13 tells you about him. So here we have a tremendous story in those three verses, 20, 21 and verse 1. There's going to be an outpouring of God's wrath upon this world. But he says that for us who are the Lord's people, we can shut our doors about us. There is to be a place of safety for us. That is a tremendous thing to know. And whilst we're in that place of safety, judgment will be poured out upon this earth. The first resurrection of the righteous will take place, and Satan and the Antichrist will be dealt with. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Isaiah 33. verses 20 to 22. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. You know, like Moses' tabernacle is being taken down all the time. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. Those of you who are making notes, have a look at Psalm 87 and verse 7. Wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Hallelujah. That's a good promise, isn't it? A very exciting one. Chapter 34 and verse 16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. What's the book of the Lord? The Bible. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. No one of what? No one of the words of this book. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. Holy Spirit hath gathered the words of God into this book, the words which God wants in this book. And now we are told by the Holy Spirit that we are to seek this book out and read, for nothing in this book shall fail. Nothing in this book shall fail. I believe a lot of things, but that statement, I believe with every ounce of faith, more than faith, was certainty that I have within me, because I've seen it functioning in people's lives long enough now. And I see time and time again every year people who are counseled what to do according to the word of God, and then they go their own way because the spirit of iniquity and the spirit of rebellion and the spirit of disobedience and the spirit of pride and the spirit of self-will is upon them, and they go their own way according to the yielding to those demonic spirits. And I sit back and wait for the disasters to take place. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 years, but inevitably, whenever we turn ourselves against what God says, it is inevitable. You will have disaster in your life. There is no way you can flout the laws of God and come out from it unscathed. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. 35 and verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord. Who's the ransomed of the Lord? Anyone ransomed here? That's right. We're the ransomed of the Lord, the church. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. That word could better be read, I believe, repent. And come to Zion. Come to that inner company of God's people. Come into the holy places. Psalm 91, come into the secret places of Psalm 91. Zion is the inner court. Zion is the inner company of God's people. Jerusalem is the larger company. Zion's that inner company. The ransomed of the Lord shall repent. That's funny. Do the ransomed have to repent? Isn't it the sinners that have to repent? No, here, talking of the end days, the Bible says, we have to repent. What do we have to repent of? We better start letting the Lord talk to you. Some of the things we've spoken about tonight, perhaps you have to repent of. Do you seek the Lord's word? Do you put your whole, complete, and utter trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you running all the time to the wisdom of the world to resolve your problems? Many things we have to repent of. And come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isn't that tremendous? When I You know, I'm mixed up. Pastors tend to get mixed up a lot with sorrow and sighing. And when I read these scriptures, something leaps in my heart to think that a time is coming when sorrow and sighing will be over forever. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I'm in this plan. Isaiah 41. I'm still on the first side, and I've got the other side filled up. So we're not going to get too far. Isaiah 41, 10 to 13. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. If you can only memorize that, and in the midst of some of your torments and trials, some of the testings of God, some of the anguishes and distresses that the enemy might put upon you, if you could memorize that, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. And in the midst of those troubles, you could cry out that scripture to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm hanging on, and I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to look into my life, to see that I am upright before thee, that I have integrity before thee, that my heart is perfect toward thee, and therefore I can call upon your help at this moment, and this word will prevail in that circumstance. But you have to have integrity before the Lord. You can't be sinning, going your own way, doing your own thing in selfishness and pride, and then come to the Lord in the midst of distress and expect help. We must have integrity before him naturally. And that doesn't mean being sinlessly perfect, as I've told you so often. Chapter 43, 19 to 21. Oh, this is exciting a little bit. Behold, I will. I've picked out things. I can't explain it to you tonight, but I've picked out verses talking about the days you're living in or are about to come into. 19 to 21. Behold, God said, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Many people in the wilderness today, many people walked for years in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, the chosen. Verse 21. This people, who? My people, my chosen, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That's the people you were talking about this afternoon, Pastor Williamson. They are the people who are going to show forth the glory of the Lord upon this earth. And there is a people, there is a company that are going to show forth the glory of God on this earth and show it forth literally and spiritually and practically in any way you can think about it. God has said so. And he said he'll bring them forth in the midst of doing a new thing. Isaiah 55, my time's nearly up. Isaiah 55. Oh, I'd like to read all this chapter. Let me read a few verses. Verse 3. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. If you want to read about them, look at Acts 13, verses 32 to 37. For those of you making notes. Verse 4, Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people. This is Christ. I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Three things Christ is. He's a witness, he's a leader, he's a commander. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Again, Pastor, what you were talking about this afternoon, you're touching such truths there. There's a company of people. It won't be the whole church as we know it. It will be that Zion, that inner company. Not all Jerusalem, but Zion, the holy places. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. There's going to be a company who will, the word says, show forth his glory in all of the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, where do we stop? Just about here. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Beautiful chapter. All of 55 is worth reading. Chapter 60. 1-3. Arise, shine. Let me read the verse 1 in the Amplified. Arise. Now listen carefully. I can only read it once. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You know, that promise is for anyone here who wants to take it today, for the Holy Spirit is willing to put a touch of the glory of the Lord upon you. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Now here's when the judgments come, the end days. Gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. See, the Lord interrupts the darkness and the floods to put his glory upon his real people. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Chapter 61. We'll just read verse 10 and 11. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Verse 11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. I wonder what each one of us has been talking about today. I wonder, as you've talked with each other, have you talked righteousness? Have you talked praise? Have you talked words that lift the person you've been talking to up, encourage them, let a little bit of the glory of the Lord that's in you come into them? Or have you spoken words which are critical? Have you spoken words which are despondent? Have you spoken negative words? Where are you in relationship to these promises? That's a very pertinent question, one you should let the Holy Spirit continue to worry you about until you answer it honestly to God. And if the answer's wrong, then do something about it and begin to seek the Lord and begin to search his word and begin to get your attitudes right and your words right and your thoughts right and begin to walk in that touch of his glory which is upon every one of us. Lastly, 66, verse 6 to 9. A voice of noise from the city. What city? A voice from the temple. What temple? A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Revelation 12, the church bringing forth the man-child. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Has a nation ever been born at once? Yes, several times. Nation was born at once through the Red Sea. Nation was born at once, the nation of Peter, as the blood of Christ poured out of his wound on the cross. Yes, we've seen these things already, but this is the end day. This is an end day prophecy. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith my God? We live in a day, beloved, when the church is going to travail, and she's going to bring forth. And when she brings forth, she will bring forth a company. And that company is going to be a company upon which the glory of the Lord shall rest. And that glory is going to be seen by the whole world. And the Gentiles will flow to that glory.